What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of our favorite and your favorite wrestling podcast, Lucha House Show Podcast. I'm Mars, the voice of violence, as always, joined here at ringside by my colleagues, Rowdy Roddy Parra and the armless wonder of the world, Renzo Sin Brazos. And man, have we got a lot to talk about today. You might have missed us for the last couple of weeks, but mate, we've been busy. We've been busy, and so is WWE, and so is AEW. So there's a lot to talk about. I was lucky enough to be able to fly over to Perth, fly 5 hours and still be in the same country and witness the metallic monstrosity that is the Elimination Chamber in person. And we'll be definitely talking about that quite a fair bit, plus all the interview opportunities I got with the WWE superstars. Shout out to WWE for that honor and privilege. But yeah, Rod, flick that switch and let's get the show on the road.
Oh, man. What a way to start it. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. We take 1 week off and this just got ape shit, you know. Doesn't stop. Well, we got straight into what you're talking about. Elimination Chamber, my man. Elimination Chamber. We saw you in the kickoff on Friday. You can see front row right there. You can see him. He's like, yeah, he's one of us. Yes, yes. We were like, I was so happy. They couldn't wipe the smile out of your face the whole time. Just take us through the beginning, man. How was that first encounter with WWE?
Yeah, man, it was a stinking hot day in Perth, which is a beautiful city, by the way. If you ever get a chance, go over there. It's absolutely stunning. It's Australia's best kept secret, I think. But yeah, we got there, just checked in with the WWE guys, and got my wristband and just had to wait around. There's a lot of people already there. But they designated off the first about 5-6 rows for press. So we got to sit in the shade, which was fantastic. And, you know, as you said, I was like, you know, I think I was second row because the front row they give to the priority past people. And you know who I bumped into?
Who?
Old mate Trinidad Tobacco. Man, you know the guy that's always in the front row of every PLE with the bloody Trinidad and Tobago flag? I said, mate, I've got to ask you. I said, how do you go to every show, like every PLE, everything? He goes, he looked at me and he goes, well, I just show up. I was like, all right, fair enough, mate.
But yeah, ask too many questions.
Yeah, and like as you can see, you can see me in the front row there in the kickoff show. Triple H came out, spoke a bit, and it's, mate, like I just turn into a fanboy when Triple H walks out anywhere, man. Like, he's the man. Like, he's probably my favorite of all time. Not probably, he is my favorite of all time. And just the stuff that he's doing now is just like taking this to a whole new level. So it was great to see that. And then there was like, you know, Rhea Ripley, Nia Jax, and even Logan Paul was entertaining. Like, came out and talked a bunch of shit about Perth, which was funny. It was all good. And like, I got, even see Michael Cole working like in action, like, you know, and seeing stuff that he does during the breaks and things like that and how he organizes stuff. And mate, the guy's just a true professional. And even Corey Graves, who I'm a huge fan of in commentary, I think he's got a massive future in as the main guy now on SmackDown, isn't he? Yeah. And Grayson Waller getting pops, like, you know, that doesn't happen. And the pop he got in an Elimination Chamber, which we'll talk about later, but mate, that was huge. That went for about an hour, and then they took us into the actual stadium, and they took us to the press junket. And like, mate, you know, you guys know how I think. It's like if you sleep, you miss out. So I walked straight in, got myself a corner in front of one of the screens, put my tripod up, set the camera up. I'm like, this is my area. That's nice. It. Done.
When did it kick in the fact that you're like, I'm no longer watching it from outside. I'm not watching it as a fan. I'm actually pressed. I'm going to get them interviews one-on-one with these people. When did that kick in?
You know what? It didn't kick in until I was on my way back to the hotel watching what I'd just done on my phone.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
The whole experience was surreal. It's like, okay, I'm here. I can't fuck this up. So don't get nervous and just, you know this. This is you. This is your element. This is what you've grown up with. This is, like, these are people that get it. You don't have to explain shit to anybody because these people.
Not at all.
You know? I'm getting goosebumps now. I'm doing like a rock. and like, it was weird because, like, they don't announce anything. And like, you turn around and there's Tiffany Stratton. And they're like, do you want to interview Tiffany Stratton? I'm like, yeah. You know, like, you know, hang on a minute. WWE superstar, drop dead gorgeous, intelligent, knows the business. Yeah, I want to interview her.
Oh, like, mate, and what a pop she got in Australia. Oh, I don't think anyone got a bigger pop than she did in Australia. I think the Australians just loved Tiffany so much. It was
a face. And when we talk, and I've got something to say about that when we talk about the Chamber 100%. Match itself. Because, yeah, I was very impressed by her. And then, like, you just, it just rolls. Like, you see people, like, next minute I've got Bianca Belair next to me. Then I've got Nia Jax. I've got KO. I've got Seth Rollins. I'm talking to Seth Rollins. One thing I didn't do, which I regret, he had the belt. I should have asked him to, like, take it back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what? All of them were true professionals. Grayson Waller, he was taking the piss out of me because I'm bald.
Yeah, so that was funny.
Becky Lynch, absolute superstar. Every single one of them was really nice, really accommodating, answered all my questions. And that's how they were with everybody. I couldn't get the chance to interview Rhea Ripley because people just took too long with her. But yeah, I did have a nice chat to her, and I got her to cut a quick promo for the show. So now we're
Mommy approves, man. Lucha House Podcast. You know it.
Yeah. So look, it was, like I say, the word is surreal. I still can't believe it. And I mean, we're getting quite a bit of views on the reels on Insta, which is great. Exposure for us as well as a show. And it was just incredible. And it was just, you know what? It was just something that I threw up to the universe when I sent out an email a month ago asking for press credentials. And next minute, I find myself on a plane with my wife and my son going across the country. But you know what? I'd do it again at the drop of a hat, mate. It was worth it.
100%.
Look, man, I think then, you know, and Rod and I, you know, I'm going to speak for Rod in this thing. You lived something that we only dreamed of, man. And not that we didn't live it, because we lived it vicariously through you, man. That's what we wanted from the get-go from this podcast, man. We wanted exposure like this. We would always say when we started this, wouldn't it be cool if someone at least semi-famous would say our name? And man, you got friggin' Seth friggin' Rollins, the WWE champion. I don't think anything would top that, right? Unless we get The Rock or, you know, John Cena or, you know, someone like that. Or Triple H. Yeah. But, you know, for them to say our name and for people to kind of acknowledge that, hey, wow, these guys aren't just digging around. You know, these guys are serious, and we've always been serious. And that acknowledgement, man, and you know, I appreciate and thank you for, you know, paying the cash to go out there, man. I hope it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for you, and, you know, you lived it to the fullest, man, because that is, like I said, you accomplished your dream for us.
100%.
Thanks, man. I appreciate those kind words. And it's like you said, man, like, I'm a firm believer in, like, you know, when you get your opportunities, take them. And I'm also something I live by is that there's no such thing as luck. It's luck is where opportunity meets preparation.
Absolutely.
And, all the stars had to align, and they aligned, and it just worked out really well. And I didn't make a dick of myself. And the fact of the matter is, when I started testing my microphone, it didn't work. So everything you heard was recorded just from my iPhone 10 microphone.
Yeah.
So, wow. I don't know if I didn't charge them properly or whatever, but, you know, shout out to Amazon for selling me shit microphones, but, you know, that's all good. But it was just, mate, it was just unbelievable. And I was like a little kid again. And I couldn't believe it. And it was just so much fun. And like, I'm glad you guys got to enjoy it through me as well.
Absolutely.
And I guess in terms of cutting promos for the show, that was something that I started last year when I got Santos Escobar and Joaquin Wild. And that just came off the top of my head. And I didn't prepare. Like, I'll be honest with you, I didn't prepare for these interviews because I've never done something like this. I've done radio before, as you know, Renz, I did it with you. But I've never done interview, and I only thought of one question, and then I thought, well, and that was the one that I asked all of them about who they bring back from the past, and then that kind of got the ball rolling. And even with stuff like Bianca Belair, like, just mucking around with her, saying you can't spell Western Australia without EST.
Yeah, that was good.
You know, she loved
that was
it.
Awesome.
And even getting Tiffany Stratton to giggle because I said she's been saying nasty stuff about Australia. It was great. And Becky Lynch, I mean, come on, like,
yeah, she played it up, man.
She was playing it up hard. So I basically challenged Beth and Edge to a match against me and Becky, you know, and she loved it. So, but for all those that like are listening, you'll be able to, the videos are coming up on our YouTube channel very soon. Yeah. And mate, just watch them because it was such great fun and they're such nice people. And yeah, as I said, everyone there got it.
I wanted to ask you, man, did they like, as press, right? You know, press, you're entitled to go backstage and, you know, have these interviews and things. Did they give you anything? Did you get any, like, a drink or?
Oh, there was some food there. There was a food there.
Oh, nice.
But you know what? I didn't realize I hadn't eaten. Like, I had breakfast that day, and this was the press junket was between 1 and 3, and I hadn't eaten anything since. And when I finished, I was like, oh, fuck, I'm hungry. Like, I hadn't eaten anything. I was on such a high.
Adrenaline, yeah, the adrenaline as well,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah, and then afterwards, when we were exiting the stadium, you know, the dodgy South Americanist kicked in, and like I snuck a couple of quick snaps of the Elimination Chamber in an empty stadium, and I was busted, unfortunately. And I thought, oh geez, I fucked this up. They're gonna take away my credentials. But not to their credit, he goes, mate, just please delete the photos, and it was all good.
Right, yeah. That was a nice picture, though. And we got to say that Gage almost didn't make it to Australia, too.
Thanks to the Pirates, yeah, yeah.
Man, the Pirates got in there. So the Elimination had his own Elimination Chamber in the ocean trying to get out.
It's, you know what? It's bloody huge. It's bloody huge. And the bumps take on that, like, wow. One thing that did surprise me a lot was how big Seth Rollins is.
I know. I saw you next to you. Yes. He's freaking tall. Yeah. You're like 180 something.
He's huge, man. Like really tall.
Yeah, I know. Wow. God damn. He's massive. And then you say, now Yax is tall too, man. And so, and like, she was looking at you with candy eyes too. I got to say.
Which one?
Nia Jax. She was looking at you with the kind of eyes. I gotta see. She was looking at you like that.
She was lovely.
She was lovely eyes here there. So she was pretty impressed with you. No, but everyone else, man, like Renzo said, man, we just lived it through you and it was fucking amazing. Just to know, just the fact that I'm watching the Elimination Chamber live and I'm saying, Moss is there.
That's what I kept looking out for.
Oh man, and because they put us basically about 100 meters away from the ring, so the view was fantastic, and we were on the hard cam side, so that we wouldn't have appeared on camera. But mate, the view was fantastic, and the stadium was just packed. They said 52,000 people. I thought maybe they inflated that a bit, but when I did the research, I know that the capacity for that's like 70,000, and there was one side that had like the seats covered. So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it was 50,000. Mm. Yeah. The pulse were huge. Yeah,
10%. But back after that, man, let's get into an Elimination Chamber. I think you covered pretty well what you done there. It was fucking amazing. Let's say you've been in what's it called? You've been to WrestleMania now, Elimination Chamber, man. What is next? Mas is going to be a traveling reporter
Roving reporter.
Hey, so if any sponsors are there, wants to sponsor our traveling journalist here. Mm-hmm.
MasterCard.
And if you want to help us out to, you know, new microphones, you know, pay for Zoom, which we're doing for free now, all the stuff, you know, help us out. Anyways, but let's jump into Elimination Chamber because, yeah, well, you have front seat, bro. What was happening? You saw it right there. Kickoff match. We saw Indy Hartwell finally there. How's the pop when Indy Hartwell got it there, or when Indy Hartwell like finished the match when she lost?
It was big. It was a big pop, as you'd expect for an Aussie in Australia. And the fact that they put her on the kickoff was pretty cool. I mean, like, because she's not really involved in any particular storyline at the moment. She kind of just hangs around in at Raw, and she does team up with Candice LeRae, but I think they need to find something more specific for her. But now the pop was big, the match was good. Everyone knew the Kabuki Warriors were going to win. Like, they're not going to drop the title in a kickoff match to a PLE on the other side of the world. So, but it was enjoyable. All four women are good performers. So, no, it was good. And, yeah, Indy deserved it, got her time in the sun, which was great, literally, because it was still daylight. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Mouse, I was going to ask you just before we get into actual Elimination Chamber, the breaks, man, did you feel the breaks a lot? Because for me, as a viewer watching the Elimination Chamber, I felt that there was a lot of stuff in between, right? Like between the promotions and the commercials of Perth and things like that, right?
Yeah. You don't really feel it.
Right.
Because I'm probably most of that reason is because I was taking that opportunity to run upstairs and grab a beer. But it's weird because even when I went to Raw and SmackDown and Mania last year, like, they're still doing stuff in the ring. Like, right. Sometimes they're just standing around and they'll have a chat to people that are like spectators and that. But I don't know, man. Maybe it's a mixture of like adrenaline and stuff. You just don't notice it.
Right, right. Mm. Nice. Fuck.
That's awesome. Yeah, because it was really weird with all Western Australia stuff in between the commercials. It was really bizarre.
Well, I mean, the government paid a lot of money for it, so they had to be advertising.
Yeah, and the best of fireworks, which we're going to talk about it, man.
But the city itself was pumping, man. There was WWE stuff all over the place. There was wrestling fans all over the city. That's good. So, yeah, no, it was good, definitely. The Superstore. The Superstore was more like a super tent, and stuff sold out pretty quickly. And I'll tell you what was the most difficult piece of merchandise to get, and I finally found it, was the new CM Punk t-shirt, the black one. With the blue. Yeah. That was only left in like small and medium, and I basically went around to every merch stand at the stadium and couldn't find an extra large. And then there was a little merch table near where we were sitting, and I said, "Have you got extra large?" They're like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Bang, bingo." Yeah,
Just put it in the cut.
The pop, pop for India was great match.
Great. That's good. Yeah, we heard it like there was a lot of mixed pops in between. The indie hardware we could hear, people was behind it. So it was with Eddie, every Aussie was there, as we expected. And let's jump into Elimination Chamber, which was absolutely brutal. The women's Elimination Chamber, absolutely loved it, watching it. And I got to say, and I think we just spoke about it, Tiffy Time. It was Tiffy Time, man. She just put an absolute show. She was a fan favorite from the beginning, even when the music started kicking in. I was surprised. I wasn't expecting that. I did not expect people to get so behind her because she looks so much like a blonde Aussie. I don't know. Tiffy strategies. It's a shame she didn't win, but because we knew spoiled it at the beginning. It was a spoiled finish. We knew who was going to win. But what do you guys thought about the Elimination Chamber?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the women did a great job. Look, the overall, pretty much every fight, you could guess the winner. The Women's Elimination Chamber match was probably, I really wanted Liv to win, and I thought there was a chance she could, but she didn't, obviously. It was predictable. The whole card was pretty much predictable, but that was good because it maintained the storylines. But what wasn't, what I didn't know and what I didn't expect, because as you know, I don't watch NXT. I didn't know how good she was, man. And I asked this to her. I said, "How does she feel?" Because like just last year, she was in NXT, and now she's in the Elimination Chamber with an opportunity to go to the big dance. You know what I mean? And like she put on a hell of a show. She took some big bumps. She was like fantastic. And the crowd loved her. Loved her. Yeah, Tiffy Time. Like those Tiffy Time chants.
Yeah. And the boost. Yeah, look,
I was impressed, man. I knew the stuff that she'd done on NXT, and I knew she was good, but I didn't know she was that good, man, to kind of step it up on a world stage, right? Everyone's watching you. Yeah. Especially in front of a crowd that you don't know necessarily what to expect. And she really brought it, man. The stuff that she was doing, the flips and everything, you know, from her gymnastics background and all of that, but he combined it into, you know, wrestling moves. It was absolutely amazing. This chick is definitely someone to look out for in the future. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'll say she's a mix of Charlotte because of looks, Becky Lynch because it's like the brutalness that she had on it, and a bit of Bianca Belair because of the athleticism that she has. I think she's a pretty good mix. It's like she's the one next, the next one champion, for sure. Yeah, I can
see. Should be a champion, yeah.
I can see it going against. I think this is the story they should make with Rhea Ripley going forward, because I think the perfect black and white, you know, the yin and yang kind of stuff. Even though Mami's a bit of a, it's a bit of a face. Even then, if they got that, if they make Tiffany going against Rhea Ripley, I think we'll quickly make Rhea Ripley the heel and go back to be the heel. You know?
Yeah, I don't think you can make Rhea Ripley a full heel anymore. Everyone just loves her.
No, but it'll make that hard, like that for the fans. We'll have to be like, oh shit, what do I do? You know, do I go for Tiffy? Do I go for Rhea Ripley? So people will be like, oh, you know, so it'll be a good battle, not just for them too, but just for the fans, because they wouldn't know who to go with.
Yeah. Oh, look, I don't think she's ready to be a champion just yet, but there's no doubt that's where she's headed eventually. Yeah. I, in terms of a future for her, I would keep Tiffany a heel, and once Imperium eventually self destructs, I would team her up with a real life partner, Ludwig Kaiser. I think that'd make a great heel team.
Yeah, that could be.
Look, that's a good point, man. And look, Tiffany's got years ahead of her, man. You're right. You know, it shouldn't be rushed. She's only 24. So, yeah, man, she's got a long career ahead, and, you know, looking forward to what she brings.
100%. And Becky Lynch won. That's pretty much it. She beat. We saw Raquel Rodriguez. We saw Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan did a hell of a show as well. That was great.
Fantastic.
Liv Morgan, man. Liv Morgan is just a pocket rocket, man. She's little, but goddamn, she can fight against anyone. She's just absolutely nuts. I love it. Absolutely crazy. So that was the Women's Elimination Chamber. Then we jumped to a match we knew was going to happen, which is Judgment Day against New Catch Republic. Great match. New Catch Republic, we did good. Judgment Day won. I don't know if you guys are going to go in depth into that one. That was just...
That was predictable, but I was really impressed. Is it Tyler Bates? Isn't it? He is fucking strong. He put Damian Priest on his shoulders and he did about 50 airplane spins. Yeah. Like, that was insane, man. We just all looked at each other and we're like, man, that's strong. Like, you want to talk strong style? That's strong style, man.
100%. And that's the new catch. That's what they do. Like the English brutal kind of strength. Not so technical wrestling, but more brutal wrestling.
Really strong style.
The brute style. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Which is good. And then we got to Elimination Chamber, like the main Elimination Chamber, which had the Bobby Lashley, Kevin Owens, LA Knight, Logan Paul, Randy Orton, and Drew McIntyre. Fucking a lot of happening here, especially getting to the end of it. Fuck it. It's just brutal. Absolutely destroyer. KO, man. I think this is going to match. Eliminator Chamber.
Oh, yeah.
Anything has to do with a cage, KO, that's his match, man. He just absolutely destroyed Logan Paul. Logan Paul, man. He just made him go through everything. Bobby Lashley, he was, I don't know, man. He wasn't 100%. LA Knight, he did good. I don't know for what he was. Drew McIntyre. But let's jump into the end. What do you guys thought about that ending? Because it's a lot of happening in that ending. Let's start with the entry of AJ Styles.
Wow. Like, the guy flies 30 hours across the world to hit a guy with a chair and then leave. Yeah. That's dedication.
Ballsy.
I loved it. It was a surprise. No one even knew he was in the country.
Right.
I loved it, man. I thought it was great. I don't know what you guys thought, but I loved it.
Nice.
No, it was a good surprise, man. Yeah, same. It was a good surprise. I had no idea he was even in the country, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, to fly all that way.
It opens the feud with LA Knight now. So both are going to have a feud going on to WrestleMania. So that's great.
Oh, I'll fight at WrestleMania. That's a given. That's
good.
That's
great, because you make them both go to WrestleMania, which is really important.
Yeah. And in terms of the rest of the stuff happening, I thought it was a great ending. When Logan Paul was eliminated by Randy Orton, and everyone saw him in the ring, people around me were saying, oh, he's still in the ring. Something's going to happen. And sure enough, we know what happened. In my view, the only person that should have won, that made sense to win that match, was the person that won it, was Drew McIntyre. Nothing else would have made sense. Nothing else would have made. But I don't know. For me, Bobby Lashley was an interesting choice as to be part of this match because he's got something else going on with the Street Profits and what they're building against the Final Testament. So it was a weird, he was never going to win Elimination Chamber. It was great to see him there. He's a great performer. I'm a big fan of his, but it just didn't make a lot of sense to have him in that Elimination Chamber match. But the ending was fantastic. Logan Paul, again, stood up and, took all the stiff stuff from Kevin Owens and, every time he comes to and performs in a PLE, we say it like, sure, we don't really like him in our world, but you know what? He's doing a good job. The brass knucks, that brought that into play and that won it for Drew. So I thought it was a really good ending. It was a fast-paced ending.
Yeah. A lot of happening makes a lot of happen. We can say Randy Orton will become the champion at WrestleMania against Logan Paul.
I don't know, man.
I wouldn't be surprised.
This opened the door for the feud for them to go to WrestleMania. That's for sure.
I think that is the WrestleMania match. Yeah, I think it is.
And I think he's where Logan Paul could lose it and just give it to Randy Orton. And it would be great to hear Randy Orton to see as a North American champion, the US champion. Freaking great, man. I think that's one title we could give Randy Orton right now.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, good.
Hopefully,
we'll see how it goes. We'll see how this continues. And let's jump into the last match, which was the main event, the Women's World Championship, Rhea Ripley against Nia Jax. How was that? We forgot Farrell. Hang on a second. We forgot something in all this.
Whoa.
We forgot the Grayson Waller effect.
Oh, of course.
Man, we forgot that entry, that Cody Rhodes entry. People singing the song and fireworks even outside the stadium.
Yes, that was insane. Insane, man. That was insane. I'm not going to say it was up there with his Mania entrance, but it was pretty damn close.
That pop, man.
Yeah, massive, massive pop. And yeah, with the fireworks outside the stadium, that just added that, that was the icing on the cake. And 100%. That Grayson Waller effect was awesome. Austin Theory did a great job. And you can see the signs of discontent amongst Grayson and Austin now. Grayson Waller just, and then I was on SmackDown, I think last Friday, he goes, hey, I did everything I could to protect you. And Austin Theory was like, yeah, what? What the fuck? You know? It explained or, it gave us a bit more information in relation to the whole storyline with Cody and the Bloodline and The Rock and I thought they were going to announce the tag match right there, but he says you're not going to be doing it alone, and I was like, I just screamed it out loud. I'm like, tag match, but no, they didn't announce that. But that's obviously where
we'll get to that. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the Renzo, that Cody Rhodes pop and what happens stadium at that moment?
Yeah, man, that was kind of crazy. I think for me, I don't know, like I said, viewing it, it kind of dragged. I know it would have been a completely different experience in the stadium. Look, it was a good segment, but for me, the entrances kind of dragged it along. But no, for you, Mars, I think it would have been a whole different experience watching it live, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Watching wrestling live is great, but the only thing that makes it a bit less of an experience is the lack of commentary.
Yeah.
Because as you both know, commentators play a pivotal role in storylines and they feed the crowd information. You don't have that when it's live.
I would love to have what they do in the cricket, man. Just that thing. Man, that would be such good. Like, I think even the stadiums of football, man, we all watch football, soccer, and the old school, you go to a stadium with headphones, you just listen to a radio because you listen to a commentator, isn't it? And then we should have that resonance. So I agree with that. I always said the same thing. And let's jump to Mommy. How was that pop when Mommy got to the stadium, man? Because that just went nuts.
Mate, huge, huge doesn't cover it. It was massive. Excuse me. It was massive. She was just every single person in that stadium was yelling for her. Like, she's not a heel. She's a face, man, every day of the week.
Absolutely.
No matter what she does, she's a face. She She's kind of like, I put her up there with like The Rock or Stone Cold when they were meant to be heels, but people were cheering them. When they're that damn good, you can't help but cheer, man. And she is an absolute, like, she's a gun. And she's 27, like, come on.
She's so young, man. So young. And she's amazing. And let's gotta say, she at one point almost broke down. You can see her face. She just hold it back so well.
Yeah.
Like, but at one point you can see the little just, you know, I'm gonna break character here. And she just kept it together until the absolute end. My belief, I think they should have a different match. I don't think it should have been Nia Jax. I think that played a huge role on the end of the match when it should have been a way bigger pop when Rhea Ripley won and it wasn't as big, at least on TV.
Oh, no, it was big, man. It was big.
On TV, it felt like it wasn't as big because of the fact that I think should it be a different opponent.
Nia Jax held her own. Like she was a good opponent. Wrestling Nia Jax is probably difficult.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And like, not just because of her size, but like, it's just awkward picking her up and things like that. I think Nia did a great job, but it was always going to be about Rhea. There's no way she was ever going to lose that title in Australia.
Yeah, look, and Nia Jax has unfairly copped a lot of flack before, you know, when she left, and, you know, they used to call her, you know, the human botch machine. But I think she did all right. You know, there were a couple of things that I was like, ooh, when she tried to put Rhea Ripley through the table and it didn't work. Yeah. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think under the circumstances, you know, there's a lot of pressure on her as well, right? And, you know, a woman of that size is fighting Rhea Ripley, who's not small herself. Yeah, it's difficult, but I think the match was great, man. They both did well, and Rhea, man, she just blew people away, right?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, look, overall, I give the elimination show probably about an 8.5 out of 10.
Ooh. Mm. Wow. Is it something that you would go to again, a specific elimination chamber? Is it like one and done? You've done an elimination chamber.
Yeah, one and done. Because at the end of the day, it was only five matches.
That's the thing, right? I think that's one of the things that, you know, people critiqued that I read online is that people traveled so far and there was only five matches.
Yeah.
But, man, it's a spectacle of it, right? You're there for the atmosphere. You're there for the fans. So, I thought it was a great event for Perth, and hopefully, you know, it's the first of many, you know, and it's not just Perth, right?
Nah,
you can bring it anyway, man.
The fact of the matter is, as much as I really dig Perth now, you have that event on the East Coast, that event sells out.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, guys, so I'm cutting you off because we've got 30 seconds to go. We got 30 seconds to go before this cuts off. We're doing free swim, so what can we do, man? This is what it is. We can't pay for everything all the time. But in a nutshell, great elimination chamber. That ending, I think you guys were talking about it, putting it here, of Rhea Ripley, man, on the stadium, outside the stadium, people going nuts, their family going absolutely insane. The only thing missing there was Buddy Murphy. I think Buddy Murphy there would be fucking great. But we couldn't. So we guys finished with elimination chamber. We're going to go for a break. We come back and we want to talk about what's happening now. And